Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Greg Kazera is here. Greg has become a great member of our Brain Trust over the last several years. He's the founder and the president of an organization called Learned Leadership LLC. He's represents an organization that's promoting a region of the United States called Shale Crescent, which is in West Virginia and a little bit of Virginia, a little bit of Kentucky, a fair amount of Ohio and Pennsylvania. It's an exciting part of the energy industry that's they're having a lot of fun with and a lot of success with. And he's the author of Learned Leadership. Did I say that? He's our good friend Greg. Welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you, Jim. Always a fun time.
It's good to have you back. So I was telling the audience before you got here that it seems to me that we're in the middle of what I'm calling, and I'm not qualified to say this, but this is a story I'm sticking to, that what I'm calling the new energy economy. We're transitioning away from the classic crude, all different kinds of crude, the good stuff, the sweet stuff, and the sulfuric stuff, from the crude oil energy and coal to a cleaner carbon-based energy economy, on the way to an energy economy that one day, maybe not in my lifetime, but one day will be almost no carbon. I think this is the transition. This is the evolution we're making along the way. What do you think?
No, I think you're spot on. This is a different economy. This is not your grandfather's energy economy. And the reason why that is because the United States now is the leading producer of natural gas in the entire world. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, if you took the Shale Crescent region, just Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and made a country out of that, Jim, we would be the number three natural gas producer in the entire world. There's only two places that beat us. One is the rest of the United States without Shale Crescent, Ohio, West Virginia. And number two, and this is really important, number two is Russia.
Wow.
Everybody else, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Canada, China, are all well below Shale Crescent.
And by the way, if you want to look that up, type in Shale Crescent region, and you'll see it's
ShaleCrescentUSA.com. They can go right to the website.
All right, there's a website. Yeah, but you can find it. The map of the what they mean when they say Shale Crescent, because it does look a little like a crescent. And you see how it comes up from the southern tip of West Virginia all the way up into Pennsylvania. So this is an area. But now, one of the things that I like to remind people about is that on its own, with a little bit of regulation, a whole lot of investment, and a whole lot of intention, the United States of America has accomplished Kyoto Accord level carbon footprint, and a lot of that's come from the exploration and the development and the use of natural gas. We have, we've blown right beyond the Paris Accords. We're now at Kyoto Accord levels in an economy that's 3 to 4 times bigger than it was in 1990, and yet you almost never hear the environmentalists give us any credit for that. It's like we still haven't done enough, and that's one of the things that I like to remind people about. We've done a good job of lowering our carbon footprint. Take that, China. Take that, India. What do you think?
Oh, Jim, you are so spot on. And what's neat is we're down, I think the number, last number I saw was 12. It may be more than that now. You're right. We've lowered our carbon footprint by that much, but the world is still up. So can you imagine China's up, India's up, so to your point, can you imagine what would happen if we could get the rest of the world to do even part of what we're doing?
Well, see, I've long advocated, and I haven't heard anybody else doing this. And I hope somebody else is with a lot more clout than I have. I've long advocated for a metric that was your carbon footprint per dollar of GDP. You know, to me, your carbon footprint means nothing if you're not measuring against what you're producing with it. And if you did carbon footprint per dollar of GDP or per unit of GDP, however you want to monetize that, I bet you America would blow everybody else out of the water.
Oh, we would. And of course, that doesn't fit some of the, I'll call them the black environmentalists.
Right.
their mindset or their how would you call it, their goals. But you're right. At the end of the day, if you looked at it that way, and boy, you know what's even more important, because I see it, what I do in our region is I bring in economic development. I bring in jobs, and most of those jobs are coming from overseas, from places like Asia and Europe and South America, mostly Asia. And we've got a company coming over from India that's going to expand here in the United States. Well,
wow.
Can you imagine what that does for the carbon footprint? If they did the same expansion in India versus here, totally different. And what the expansion's coming because the world needs what they're making. The only difference is they're going to make it here at a lot lower carbon footprint than they would have made it in India.
What is the inventory have you estimated of natural gas in the Sierra Crescent?
Oh my gosh!
How many
years?
Huge.
I mean, it's in the trillions and trillions of TCF because we've just begun to scratch the surface of what's in the Sierra Crescent, because it's not just what's exciting and good for your listeners need to know. It's not just one reservoir; it's multiple reservoirs on top of each other, and that's what makes Sierra Crescent so exciting.
Is any of this recovered without fracking?
No. Matter of fact, that's all
from fracking. I want to make sure we got both sides of the aisle here.
Matter of fact, you can't produce oil and gas without fracking. That's the bottom line. So for those that want to ban fracking, you can't. If you ban fracking, what you've done is you've banned oil and gas, because in today's world, every well's fracked. Wrong pretend purpose, 99% are fracked. So that's it's just like putting tires on your car. If you ban tires, you can't have a car.
When we come back after the break, I'm going to get Greg Giver's report on how we're going to talk about a little geopolitics and how some of the other things that are going on around the world are having an effect on our prices that we pay at the pump and on the geopolitical leverage that America has against people like Russia and Iran and China.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.